This is Hitchhiking Off the Map. Welcome. I'm Conrad Bishop.
And Elizabeth Fuller. And today we're doing the first of four shows, a mini-series dedicated to spring, to Easter, Ostara, the season of blossoming and resurrection.
It's a Sumerian myth, the earliest texts about 5,000 years old, about Inanna, queen of heaven and earth. It's the earliest known resurrection story.
And we'll do part of the cycle each week and follow each with some talking.
Our telling it is a crossroads between ancient myth and a woman today, because that's where we are.
Descent of the goddess Inanna, Trenton, New Jersey, 5:42 p.m.
Part 1, Tremors.
Inanna, awaken.
She claims the throne of the bed, rotten lard of the sacred tree. She seizes the gifts of wisdom from Enki, the Lord of Wisdom. She lies with her lover Dumuzi, embraces her lover Dumuzi, rejoices.
Inanna, awaken.
She descends to the great below, the realm of Ereshkigal, to the dark. She passes the seven gates of the great below. She dies, she rots. She dies, she rises, she rises, she resurrects. She dawns.
Inanna, come to us.
Your people are dead. Your children of Sumer are dead. Those who loved you are shadows. 5,000 years. Now in the streets, new children perish. Their dreams perish. The mothers who bore them perish. The fathers who seeded them perish. The seeds perish.
Bring us your gifts.
Bring us your gifts. Your light. Your loins. Your hands.
Mom, hi. I hope that you're feeling good. I mean, I don't even know what to say exactly, but you know what I mean. I found some stuff that I wanted to send you. Some books. One of them, it's... I don't know if you read this stuff, but I just thought it was... it's mythology. And, excuse me one minute. Don't let the cat out, please. I'm sorry, my roommate just ran in. It's... Sumerian. It's like 5,000 years ago, I think, before the Bible and all that stuff. And it's, I think it's just been recently translated, and it's kind of hard to piece together sometimes, but there's Inanna and Ereshkigal and Gilgamesh and Dumuzi, and oh, you know what, I just wanted to mention to you, Dad called the other night and we did talk and he asked about you. But anyway, so this book, there's a journey through the underworld that Inanna takes to visit her sister. And I had a dream about it, and it reminded me of you.
Oh, baby.
You know how much I love you, and I wish that I could be there right now.
It's Frank. Morning, pill time.
No pills.
I know, Francis, but there's nobody else to take them. Nobody wants my pills.
I'm not here.
I have the same problem.
What day is it?
Tuesday. Are the pills working for you?
They make me buzz.
I will write that down. That chair gets a workout. Well, you know, some days it's no sweat with you and the pills, and some days it's a lot of sweat, and it all ends up the same, so I wish we wouldn't have sweat. All I can say is... take them and buzz.
I can't see very well. There's something I need to focus...
You didn't say anything about...
I can't see! You know what I'm saying, Frank? You're intelligent. I appreciate your intelligence. I'm having difficulty focusing. I'm a photographer. Professional photographer. Weddings and things. It's not art, but it's what people want. And you know, this behavior is really pretty humiliating.
What are you tearing?
Business cards.
What would happen if you stopped doing that?
I'd probably scream a lot.
Oh, you want to take your pills? Good. I need to see under the tongue. Thank you, Francis. I'm sorry you feel bad. Could I get you something? Books, maybe? So, Francis, I was going to say, yesterday you asked me to send a message to your sister, and so I informed Dr. Allison that you would like to send this message. Then I checked your file, but there's no record of your having a sister. Oh, my God. Where'd you get that?
Found it.
Please? What are you doing with a lighter, Francis?
Nothing.
I am really going to catch hell.
I'm sorry.
Well, that was a neat surprise, but a couple hours to dinner.
Sister.
Sister. Sister.
I'm in every cell of your body, and as distant as the stars, and as near as the roof of your mouth, and as far away as the dirt of the grave. I'm so close to you, I touch you, and I'm so far away.
Dinner time. Books. Where'd you get the books?
My daughter sent it. It's mythology. It's a goddess who descends to the underworld to meet her sister, who's queen of the underworld. It's kind of childish.
That's sister business. I never had a sister. Good thing for her.
No food.
No food. Well, you gotta eat those Brussels sprouts, because otherwise they think you're unhappy, and it makes all those doctors sad.
You got a bump on your head.
Yeah, very perceptive. Yes, that was 4C, geriatrics ward. Mrs. Bingham hit me with her walker. Excuse me.
Did they tell you what I did? They must have. For a while, they had me so doped up I might have been you. It was pretty unforgivable. You know, I'm a photographer. I do weddings. I do it well. And I snap the bride and the groom in a very happy pose, and then they try to hold that pose for the rest of their life. So I was shooting this wedding, and I thought about my sister. I don't have a sister. I was a twin. I had a sister who died in the womb. She was born dead. Of course, I didn't worry about it then. I just thought, where's the nipple? But my parents told me about it, and then I forgot. Until... and I had a very good life until... No!
Sister,
you left me.
You left me.
I remember.
A flapping of wings.
Then there were gates.
Gates.
The gates stayed shut.
The gates stayed shut.
I sent up a tree.
I remember a tree.
To dwell in both worlds. Its crown below was as broad as its crown above. Its heart was strong, and it sang.
Strong. It sang.
You tore up the roots.
Sister.
Sister.
What?
Oh, yeah. Wedding. So I was shooting this wedding, and I couldn't do it. I took pictures of silly things. Took pictures of feet. And then just close-ups. Close close-ups. Just eyes and nose and a great big mouth. And so on Monday, I did the contact sheets and saw what I'd done, which was unforgivable. Without an album, how would they know they were happy? And my daughter was home for a visit. She was outside the darkroom. And she said, "Mom, you okay?" And I heard her voice, and so frightened and... So I never came out. I simply had to go crazy. I tried the old razor blade bit.
Did you say something?
Oh, I thought you were... Nothing.
Well, look, you know, that was a very strange call. You'd asked me to give a message to your sister, but we had no records of your having a sister. And then the strange thing was that they just got a call at the desk, and the woman identified herself as your sister. Francis? Where the hell are you getting those? The lighter, Francis. Give me the damn lighter. Okay, damn, Francis, we're going to have to do a search. I'll call my supervisor, and we have to do a search. I'm sorry, damn it, Francis. I'm sorry.
Frank, it's dark. Where's it going here? It's night.
It's night! Oh, my queen. Great queen of the underworld. Queen of darkness, queen of night. Queen of the dead and the dying and the diminished. Ereshkigal.
Gatekeeper. Why have you left the gate?
Well, there's just dead people there. It's boring. So there's news you want to hear, but you don't know where you go. You just got to do what you got to do, sir. The news is...
When it divided, the light from the dark, the dragon brought me here. In his teeth he clasped Ereshkigal. He brought me here to the land of Kur, the land of no return. He brought me here.
There was gatekeeper then, even then.
And I was queen. In the dark I was queen. Queen of the dead who come in rivers.
And I am rich with weaving.
There was a gatekeeper before there was a queen.
Then my husband came to the land of Kur, the black-eyed Nurgle came, with his harsh black beard, his juice, his teeth, his fire. He came into me.
I was watching.
We lay Nurgle and Ereshkigal for a first day and a second day. We lay Nurgle and Ereshkigal for a third day and a fourth day. We lay Nergal and Ereshkigal for a fifth day and a sixth day. And I am rich with weavings.
And so he's dead. King of the underworld, he's dead. He was God, but he's dead. He ruled the dead, but he's dead. Figure it out. I'd say it's a lack of vitamins. Time for dinner.
No food.
Times he is out of joint. Newsies, sweetie, the underworld is going to hell. No place to put more humanity. People sleep standing up. You gotta get back your appetite. Who's gonna eat the dead if you don't? I let him in, you digest him. Just a few bites. Now heat it first. He's juicy.
I am not grieving my husband. There will be other husbands. My husband's run in a river wall. I grieve what I lost. I grieve my heart. I grieve my sister, my twin, who has kept my heart.
Your sister? Well, she'll be here. Don't ask me when. I've not begun time.
I call her. I call her every day.
You gotta dial the right number. She's queen of heaven and earth. She's not some lady in a loony bin. You have no grasp of technology.
None.
She will come when she's good and ready. Right now, she's a kid. You were twins, yeah, but you got old fast, and she's still a cutie. She's still saying, see the birdie. Sister this, sister that, but it's a long time, honey, till the family reunion.
She will come. She feels my reach. Come.
First days and first nights of the dividing, the great dividing. Splitting earth from sky and world, from underworld. Then Inanna's sister, Ereshkigal, was clasped in the dragon's teeth, clasped in the dragon's teeth to rule the dead. They were divided. Inanna, the jewel, the morning star, to rule the living. Her sister, to rule the dead. And her sister sent up a tree, tall tree, its roots in the dark, its crown in the sun, a bridge, a hand from her realm, reaching up to her sister Inanna, reaching up to the light.
The crow set her nest in the branches, and
desire. The tree filled its heart,
its crown in the sun.
Come to my darkness.
The light
into the heart.
Its heart.
Sister.
The tree is mine. It will be my shining throne. It will be my fruitful bed.
Sister.
The tree has voices. I cannot have the tree. I weep for the tree I would make my shining throne. I weep for the tree I would make my fruitful bed. I will speak to my brother Gilgamesh.
Yes.
My brother Eye Blossom.
Yes.
I must have my shining throne.
Yes.
I must have my fruitful bed.
Yes, I am your hero. I will kill the snake, scare off the carrion bird, and drive that bitch out of that tree, and we will make furniture. And I chop the head off the snake. And I rip the wings off the crow. And the demon scrams to the desert.
And the tree, he pulls up by the roots, cuts off the branches, tears out its heart. He builds her a shining throne. He builds her a fruitful bed.
I have my throne. I have my bed. I become the morning star.
Left her for what? I can make me a drum and a drumstick. I'll do it. I make me a drum and a drumstick, and I drum. Drum in the streets. Drum in the roads. Drum in the highways. Call out the young men of the city. Call them out to the streets. Call them into the roads. Call them onto the highways.
Drum them into armies. Drum them into legions. Drum them to the attack. Charge! Where the attack!
No! Stop it! Stop it!
You would forget me. You root me out. You sever my fingers. You scar my womb.
Make them stop!
You would forget your sister, your twin. And so may you hear the drums. So may your children hear the drums. So may your children march to the drums, kill to the drums, die to the drums, and be shadow.
Shut up!
You will know me. Ereshkigal.
Shut up. You're listening to part one of Descent of the Goddess Inanna.
This is Hitchhiking Off the Map.
Life crises. The times when maybe you haven't crashed, but you have these earthquake tremors, feeling like something might be opening under your feet.
Our inspiration for dramatizing Inanna was a workshop given by our friend Anadea Judith, a writer and goddess.
Elizabeth spoke with her in our studio.
This thing about the hulapu tree, where her sacred duty is tending this tree, which is such a wonderful thing, and how it is within all of us that we have something wonderful and then we start to become dissatisfied with it and we want more. And we want to take control of something. And we think that will bring us greater happiness. We think that, well, we can expand, you know. And how we lose something when we get that ego attachment to making more. Oh, I long for my shining throne, and I long for my bed, and when will I get recognized? And what it is that we do to ourselves in the world from that place. We need to wake up from that place.
Well, if there had been a different way to do the throne and the bed, she's developing all of the aspects of the godhood of consciousness that we have, and she does need a throne. A throne is an established place of power, a place from which you can use your rather considerable influence.
Mm-hmm.
And a bed is a place to procreate as well as to sleep. And in a way, she's heading toward the gifts that she will acquire later. That's not the problem. The problem is cutting the tree down to do it. The incredible image to me in that section is the fact of the double crown.
Well, it's really the world tree, which always has been the symbol of that which connects heaven to earth. So she is tending this tree that allows her to feel the connection of heaven and earth. But when her ego says, I want more, I want my shining throne and bed, and what's wrong with this tree? It has Lilith in it, and it has the serpent in it. No, I don't like that. And once that tree is cut down, then heaven and earth are no longer in connection. And when heaven and earth are no longer in connection in our lives, we feel some urging to bring them together, almost a compulsion to seek out experiences that will bring them together. I think people who have denied their dream state in their unconscious will seek out certain drug experiences in order to bring that back together, or they'll push themselves to the limit.
Messages that attempt to be sent and can't get delivered are part of that for me. That there are things that happen. There are times when you come down with a raging cold or something like that. Right at the wrong time, your body is giving you information saying, there's something up here. Something is not right.
You've forgotten your ground. Come back and find your ground. You know, when Eresh Kigal sends up the tree, she's sending up a gift to say the underworld is potent. The underworld is fertile. The underworld is where life comes from. All trees have their roots in the earth. As I say, all babies start in the darkness of the womb. This is a glorious, rich, fertile place. And Eresh Kigal's gift is saying, look at the fertility of this. Look what I can offer you.
And then Inanna's freak out at that potential contact. I don't know.
Well, what we deny, we fear. If you have denied a part of your psyche, then in order to keep that denial going, we fear its awakening. But to keep something at bay in my psyche, if it starts to wake up, that creates fear in people.
The story of the separation between Inanna and Eresh Kigal is one of the things that's strongest for me. And I remember, and I've seen this with other people's very young children, that little children seem, as often as not, to be able to read your mind, not just intuit. Mm-hmm. But I know this was
little
true
children have not yet learned that separation. They
right.
are still
and
connected with all of it.
And animals haven't either.
And I think that the whole myth speaks to this idea of separation, not only separation between heaven and earth, but separation between male and female, separation between above and below, between day and night, which mythically was the beginning of consciousness being able to make and keep distinctions, which is an essential function of consciousness. You know, the epic of Gilgamesh tells about creating the great wall around the city, and Gilgamesh then sits on the wall and says, look at what I've made. And what is a wall but a separation?
When I was young, and this goes clear up into my 20s, I was terrified of the dark, and I was beset by amazingly hostile, murderous nightmares on an absolutely regular basis. And the process of understanding how to live in my dreams and how to ask for gifts from my dreams, to ask for questions, to ask for, it's almost like what's said of Hecate. She doesn't give you the answers, but she helps you understand what the choices are. And the dreaming world became a friend that I could take by the hand and be led and work with. And the same thing happened to me about the dark. It didn't happen all at once, but it happened with a remarkable thoroughness. I can almost see in the dark. I'm able to navigate around objects in the dark, and I feel enormously embraced by the dark. And so coming from a point in my life where I was about to be done in by both of those things, the dream and the dark, to a point where they're now a real contributory factor in my life, that I hadn't thought about it until it came up in this story. It took me quite a kind of an active effort to also get a hold of the concept of dark not necessarily being equivalent to loss.
Yes.
Or grief. Mm-hmm. But all the different kinds of cycles of dark, the dark part of a woman's menstrual cycle, the dark of aging, the preparation for death, the dark of the time when you just don't have any energy, mm-hmm. the dark of winter, the dark. There are so many different kinds of dark, and sometimes just thinking of that dark for me as resting.
I was just going to say it's rest. It's that fertile place. The seed begins in the dark. If you germinate a seed under the bright sun, it's going to die. It needs to be in the dark. The child is in the dark when it's in the womb. The dark is the time of renewal. And when we have a culture that denies the dark, we're denying that period of renewal.
This was Hitchhiking Off the Map, a production of The Independent Eye. We were talking with Anadea Judith. Anadea's website is www.sacredcenters.com. This dramatization of Inanna was written by Bishop and Fuller, performed by us with music by Elizabeth, and it's available on CD. Visit our website at www.independenteye.org.
Hitchhiking is supported by the National Endowment for the Arts
and by the Hitchhikers Guild. Next, part two of Descent of the Goddess Inanna, Awakening.
Happy springtime. There are times when in your house, nothing can be found. You can turn around for 30 seconds and something you had your eye on is gone. And I can't resist thinking of those things as messages in the same way that Ereshkigal tried to make that tree be something that bridged the gap. But the fact that you can't find your socks or your checkbook is sometimes kind of hard to understand as a communication. There's something in you that's saying, listen up.